Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk about Social Security. And who better to be here with us than Lester Austin? Lester has been with Social Security for how long?
I can't remember.
That long.
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years. And Lester and NITP go back about 30 years. One of the first seminars we ever did was at a place called Indian Head, Maryland, with Patuxent Naval Air Station. And Lester did the Social Security. And still looks the same 30 years later. But anyway, and he was powerful then and maybe more powerful now. But anyway, good to see you, Lester. And John Elliott, he's a federal benefit strategist, retired Fed, retired seminar presenter, but still answers emails, no?
And just tired.
Just tired.
Yes.
But very knowledgeable.
It's a great pleasure for me to be here this morning, too, on For Your Benefits.
Well, you know, this show wouldn't be the same if it wasn't when you come on. So you ever heard the expression, boom, off the mic? Well, fasten your seatbelts. Okay, Lester, let's start at the ground level, if you will. How does anyone even know whether they qualify for benefits or not?
Well, now it's very easy for the American public to realize if they qualify, they can visit SocialSecurity.gov. And once they have visited SocialSecurity.gov, what they can do is create them an account. In other words, we used to send those benefit statements out to individuals once a year, 3 months before their birthday. Well, we're no longer doing that. We sent out 155 million statements once a year, and that cost us $70 million. So we devised a way for the American public to get that without spending all that money. They can just go on Social Security's website at SocialSecurity.gov and create what is called My Account. So I would encourage the American public to click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it.
Can I ask you a question? There are some folks, and actually we got an email on this, that are uneasy about using a computer. And in particular, this one, can I schedule an appointment online since I have trouble getting through the 800 number? And what can be done by an applicant on expediting a hearing decision? I mean, first of all, how does somebody get through on the 800 number if they just don't have the time? I'm sure there's no backline number that you're going to give us because it wouldn't be a backline number after that.
Right. If a person's having a problem, what they can do, and I really don't understand what kind of problem they're having with the 1-800 number. Because once they call that 1-800 number, somebody's trying to pick that up as quickly as possible. We have what is called 10 mega service centers across America with over 500 folks in each one of those answering that phone. And we have some smaller teleservice centers throughout the country. Now, if a person wants to make an appointment, they will have to speak to one of our representatives so we can make sure that they get an appointment when we can, as early as possible, do that for them. Going online, make an appointment, not yet. But the American public still has choices. They can, one, call, make an appointment. They can call and make an appointment to file over the phone. They can make an appointment to visit one of our Social Security offices. They can do it online, or they can just walk in. So they got four options. Walk in, call and make an appointment to file on phone, call to make an appointment to visit one of our Social Security, or the easiest way to file for retirement online, take less than 20 minutes.
Can I make an appointment online?
The answer is no, not yet. We're not there yet. We're working on that.
Okay, let me ask you one other thing. I deal an awful lot with the IRS, and oftentimes on the telephone, not to my liking. Not because they're bad people, but the wait. But I know not to call on a Monday, and I know not to call on a Friday. But what I found out a few years ago is if I called at 7, sometimes 8 at night, I could get through with maybe 15 minutes instead of 45 to an hour and 15 minutes, and I could get through. Why? Because although we're on the East Coast, I was talking to the West Coast, and I thought it was very nice of them to extend their hours, not just to be East Coast time. So here's the question. Is there a time such that with regards to the Social Security hotline or the 800 number where it's better to call than others?
The best time to call is any time that you would want to call. Someone will be there to answer that phone, and they shouldn't. You shouldn't have a long wait time, if any at all. I know sometimes we do have a wait time, maybe 5 minutes, because think about this. Social Security, once a month, we pay over 58 million beneficiaries. And with the collections of Social Security, there's so many Americans that are paying into Social Security, they're calling and ask questions. So we're dealing with a lot of folks here, a lot of folks. And like I said, right now we're paying over 58 million beneficiaries. And we're looking at that to grow.
Oh, I have a question. Is the Social Security, when I apply for Social Security and online, whatever, or in an office, is it computed electronically? I mean, the reason I ask is OPM has never been able to get their system up and running electronically. I'm assuming Social Security has been more successful than the Office of Personnel Management doing that.
Well, you can visit our website and you can calculate your benefit.
Right.
We have calculators where folks can calculate. Once you have established My Account online at Social Security, you can look at the retirement estimator. And with the retirement estimators on our website, you can do what-if scenarios. What if I earn this amount? What if I work longer? What if I don't earn nothing? What if I stop work right now? You can do all these different scenarios based on the information that you give us and the facts that we have to give you that estimate as to at what time you want to retire.
Well, let me approach this a different way then. What is the wait by the time you apply and approve for benefits? You know you're eligible. You've done your own estimate, which I've done myself. It's very, very easy. But I've applied. When do I get my first monthly check?
Well,
on average,
we can process cases in less than 7 days. Let me let you know.
Wow. Okay.
And I've had the personal experience of doing that over the years that I was a technician processing cases. As a matter of fact, I was processing them so fast, people were getting a check before they were getting a letter to explain it. Now, on an average, we ask folks to file at least 3 to 4 months in advance to when they want the check to go direct deposit in their bank account. And we asked them to have that bank account information because we would prefer to send their check direct deposit. But again, the American public have choices. Everybody might not want to receive that check direct deposit for one reason or another. It might be the location of where they are. The proximity to the bank might be over 100 miles. So the American public still has choices. But I would encourage folks for direct deposit.
Okay. But let's go back to the beginning. There are some folks listening, or they know folks that aren't listening, and they don't know what qualifies for benefits. I believe sometimes, for as an individual, probably knows, but a CSRSer is coming to the end and they hear how great this thing is. We're going to ignore some of the pitfalls to that. But they don't understand how you qualify if you didn't have any things to qualify from. So first of all, how does one qualify, whatever?
One would qualify by working long enough under the Social Security Administration. Individuals would see, you being an employee, you pay 7.65%, and your employer matches that at 7.65%. That's how the contributions are made into Social Security. This year, the maximum contribution that one is accredited to is $117,000. So they're going to pay 6.20% up to that maximum, $117,000, and 1.45% goes into Medicare. That has no cap. As long as they have earnings, they continue to pay that 1.45%. For individuals born 1930 and later, they must earn 40 quarters. The quarters, the periods, the credits, they're one of the same. Just talking to you, being the American public, I'm going to say credits. Quarters and periods are one of the same, and I'm going to call them quarters. So you have to earn 40 quarters. You can only earn 4 quarters a year. 4 quarters a year.
Does that mean I have to work 4 quarters of the year?
No, you can only earn 1 quarter for each quarter of the year.
But I mean, I would have to work day in each one of the 4 quarters?
Oh, yeah. No.
No.
Well, let me elaborate even further how a quarter is earned.
Thank you.
Because first you want to know how many quarters you need. Born 1930 and later, you need 40 quarters of coverage. That represents 10 years of work. It can be sporadic or it can be all at one time, however you work that out through the journey of life that you have. And to earn a quota of coverage this year costs $1,200. So a person must earn $1,200 in order to earn a quota of coverage. To earn four quarters of coverage this year, the individual must earn a minimum of $4,800. Now, prior to 1978, a quota of coverage cost a person prior to 1978, it was $50 a quarter. So they had to work and earn a minimum of $50 in each quarter in order to be entitled to a quota of coverage. So if they earned $5,000 in the first quarter, worked at no other time during the course of the year under Social Security covered employment, for that year, they only earned one quarter of coverage. Effective in 1978, the amount necessary to earn a quarter began to escalate. That year, 1978, quarter of coverage cost you $250. So a person had to earn a minimum of $250 in each quarter, but also the law stated and it stipulated that once a person had earned $1,000, whether it was the first day, first week, the middle of the year, last day, last week, or last month, but once that person had earned $1,000, they would be entitled to four quarters of coverage. Whereas this year, quarter of coverage costs $1,200. If a person goes out and earns $4,800 today, they've earned their four quarters of coverage. But what's important is that fourth quarter will not be accredited to the account until October 1. So it's the beginning of each quarter that the quarter is accredited to the account.
Okay, so I'm a sports figure. I am not a sports figure. And it's coming to the January playoffs and the Super Bowl, and they want some old guy to come in and play one quarter. And I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm certainly going to make more than $4,800 in that one quarter. But I do it. So I got my four quarters for the year?
Under current law, that's where you stand. If you earn more than $4,800, then you have earned the four quarters. But again, like I said, what's important is that quarter will not be accredited to your account until the beginning of the quarter period. So okay. We got January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So at the beginning of each one of those quarters, the quarter will be accredited to your account. It may be a situation where a person knows they only need two quarters, and they earn that one pitch, that one time at bat, they earn that $4,800+. So that quarter will not be accredited to their account until the beginning of the second quarter being April.
Would you have to wait till retire till October 1st or later? Let's say I was needed, I didn't have 40 quarters, but I earned four quarters in January. So I got my four quarters, I had 36, now I got 40. But as you say, if the fourth credit is not credited to your account till October 1st, what if I want to retire in April?
You can retire in April.
Okay.
But you will not begin to receive Social Security until October.
I see. I get it.
And we want you to file 3 months in advance to when that occurs.
Okay.
So in other words, even though you want to retire in April, you have that right. But we can't begin paying you benefits until you meet eligibility requirement, being 40 quarters of coverage.
Okay. Let me come back and stay out of the sports world. I'm just a normal person. Already, I'm FERS. I pretty much know that I'm going to get quarters if I'm working full-time for Uncle. Whatever my grade level is, I'm going to earn those quarters during the year. But let's say I'm CSRS. I've worked very hard all my life, but I didn't have Social Security. And, you know, I've been listening to the show and you for a while, and I go, gee, I'd like to do this. But, you know, I'm not super highly compensated, but I might make $4,800 working part-time during the year. And then I would get my coverage for that year, but I might have to work 10 years if I never had anything. Okay, but I might want to do that anyway. So I could get it, you know, under the obscene way that I said at the beginning, most people are not going to be in that category. They're going to be more in this other category. So I'm just talking about qualification. We can talk about, you know, why a CSRS or isn't going to get what they think they're going to get because of offsets.
And you're absolutely correct. For those individuals that are under the Civil Service Retirement System, they're not paying into Social Security for a cash benefit. They're paying that 1.45% into Medicare. So they're not paying the 6.20% in the Social Security, the Old Age Survivors and Disability Trust Fund. Mm-hmm. They're paying 1.45% in the Medicare. So if they want to qualify for a Social Security benefit, then yes, they would have to 40 quarters of coverage. So if they have never earned any work, any quarters under Social Security, then yes, they would have to work 10 years being born 1930 and later. That would be the minimum requirement that would be necessary to meet that obligation.
Okay, now could I take it a step further?
Sure.
I've been working, I'm CSRS, or I'm working in a situation where I don't have Social Security withheld. But gee, I think I did work some summer jobs or in holiday time at the post office or whatever years ago. Is there a way I can look at my history? Because I sure don't have the pay stubs from back then.
SocialSecurity.gov. You want to click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it. You want to establish what is called My Account. And in My Account, what we're doing, we're dealing with the credit bureaus. We're dealing with the Internal Revenue Service and the information that we have on our own to come up with what is called security questions for you. So it might be, where did you live in 2000? You get four answers. You got to answer it right. Pick the right answer. It might be, what color is your car? Who is your car financed? Once you have established your account by going through those security questions, then we know that's you and we're safe. When you're visiting Social Security website, you're not going to Twitter, Yahoo, Bing. You're going to Social Security search engine. So it's safe and secure.
Let me ask you something. I didn't know that. So they know the answer to the question. It isn't that you signed on earlier and said my first dog's name was Coco. They're going to use it, like you say, financing of an automobile, or they're going to do some other major life thing that they know and you know. And like you say, you get four shots at it and you ought to get one of them right.
Well, you're going to get four different questions and you're going to have to get each one of them right, because we want to make sure that's you. That's you going on,
okay.
That's you trying
to
get established an account. And once you have done that, we're going to also ask you for your address and some of the questions that we're going to ask you so that we can notify you and let you know that this has occurred to make sure, in fact, that was you. And if it was you, it's nothing to do. If it wasn't you, then you need to contact us. But these questions, again, we're getting from Internal Revenue Service. We're getting from the various credit bureaus and the information that we have on our own record to establish that. For an example, when you buy your house, you're going through the credit bureau. They know who's your mortgage. So we're going to ask you, who's your mortgage with? What year did you buy the house? So you're going to know the answer. You will know the answers if it's anybody else. And sure, some of us are older and we might forget things. So you get a second try. And then you get a third try. And then you're going to get locked out because we're going to assume that's not you. So I'm going to say wait 24 hours, try it again. But if you get it locked out the second time, then you will have to visit a Social Security office and show us that proof of who you are.
Okay. So we've got the background on what qualifies to get it. How do I know what I can get? So in other words, I'm going to know what a quarter is or a credit is. I know I need a certain number. And then I want to know how much am I going to get. So how can I calculate that?
Because on our website at SocialSecurity.gov, again, we have the calculator. You can establish My Social Security account. You can print that out in a PDF file, and then you can go to our calculators, and you can plug in those numbers that you see for your earnings for each and every year. And you can do what-if scenarios that I was speaking on earlier. What if I work longer? What if I earn this amount? What if I don't? And when a person was in high school and college, and you look back then at their earnings, they might have been low. We index those earnings to bring them up to current day value to pay the person the most we can pay them.
Okay, so is this following the click, stick, and stroll?
Stick on it, click on it, and stroll through it. Because with this method, with this thought, one could visit the website, and again, there's so much information there. Like I said, we have the calculators. We got the retirement estimator. The retirement estimator is going to answer seven questions. And then it's going to say, do you agree with this? And you say yes. And then we're going to say, how much are you going to be earning from then until the point that you retire? And at a blink of the eye, once you hit enter, it's going to pop up and give you an estimate of what you're going to be entitled to. It feeds right into what is called your earnings record, and we relay that information back to you immediately.
Okay, so I've done my homework on the website. I've done my homework on reading articles, which people should. And now I'm saying, okay, I qualify. Now, there's key here, I qualify. I haven't applied. So what should one think about before they actually apply? Because you don't have to apply immediately upon qualification. You might want to wait later. So that's a loaded question. So, yeah, let's say somebody my age, I qualify, but why would I want to do it now? Why would I not want to do it now?
Well, talking about yourself, I know you're a little too young to qualify for Social Security. You just look that great. So we would need to see your birth certificate. But what happens if a person files online? They've told us this information. We have documentation. And there's statistical data that say you're who and this is your date of birth. So if you file online, usually we don't have to see your birth certificate. We don't have to see those documents.
But why would I want to wait? I mean, I qualify today. Why would I want to? I is a general term here. It's not me.
Because you have a choice.
Yeah.
And for retirement, it's a personal decision for each and every person. It might be that they don't want to retire as early as age 62. Say, let's look. We know that full retirement age has gone up. For those individuals born 1943 to 1954, full retirement age is 66. For those that are born 1960 and later, 67.
Okay, Lester, so, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
But I can ask for it at 62. What's the difference between 62 and full?
So, in other words, let's look at the people born between 43 and 54. At age 66, they're entitled to 100%. At age 62, that's going to be reduced by 0.5% per month. So they're going to be entitled to approximately 75% of the 100% benefit. They're going to take a 25% reduction.
Okay, so I qualify for a benefit, but it's not the full one if I waited a few years.
That's right. The benefits are reduced by a percent, a half a percent for each month that you elected under the full retirement age. So therefore, if you want to take that benefit at age 62, you can begin to receive that benefit as early as age 62. And you can have a part-time job and still work. This year, a person could earn $15,480. And when I'm talking about earnings, I'm talking about an employee-employer situation or a person being self-employed. So under the full retirement age this year, they can earn $15,480.
Okay.
And for every $2, they go over that. So the pensions, the annuities, the royalties they have earned, the book that they wrote about their marriage, that does not count. We're talking about an employee-employer situation. So it might be that a person wants to retire as early as 62. They can earn up to that amount, still receive their Social Security.
Okay, let me make sure I understand now. I can apply at 62 after I've met my quarter credit coverage, and I can get X dollars. If I wait till I'm 66, I'll get more than X, significantly more. But I want it. But what I'm hearing from you now, if I do go to work, if I make more than, what was it, like
$15,480,
then are you telling me I'm going to start to lose some of the Social Security that I qualified for?
In other words, what's going to happen, for every $2 you go over that $15,480, we want you to reimburse us with $1. This is called the earnings test. Their earnings test. So we look at one's earnings.
Okay.
So it may be that your earnings are much greater than that. So in other words, you want to wait until your full retirement age. So you want to continue to working until you reach your full retirement age. And guess what? At your full retirement age, you can work and earn as much as you want. Get your Social Security.
I always had trouble with full retirement age. I can get it at 62. I'm retired. I'm fully retired at 62. I'm just working a part-time job. It's really my full Social Security unreduced by any work that I would do.
So at your full retirement age, doesn't that sound great?
Yes.
At your full retirement age, you can work and earn as much as you want. But see, I got to, as your parents say, watch those bearing gifts. Because what happened at full retirement age, you can work and earn as much as you want. But being an individual, your Social Security benefit itself is taxable anywhere from 50 to 85%.
Well, let's say I'm 62 and I still want to work, but I'm going to work relatively little, but I know I'm going to exceed the 15,480 pretty much every year till I'm 66. So there's going to be money withheld. Do you ever get that back?
What's going to happen?
Do you ever get that money back was withheld?
What's going to happen, John, is this. You're going to say you're going to earn $25,000 a year. Let's round it off, say $15,000, even though we know it's $15,480. So when you look at that $15,000 minus from the $25,000, you're going to be overpaid $10,000. So you're going over $10,000. So reduce that in half, so that's going to be $5,000. $5,000 that you're going to have to reimburse us. So in other words, you might be getting $1,500 a month. So in other words, that might take us a little less than 4 months to recoup that overpayment. So you can still earn that $25,000 and still receive Social Security checks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that money that we're holding back from you will prevent it's reducing the overpayment based on the amount that you indicated that you have earned.
Right.
Okay. So now I fit into one bucket or another bucket, but let's say that I'm CSRS retiree, not FERS. Now, FERS, it's pretty much a pleasant plane ride to the Social Security office. CSRSers now, let's say that we qualify after getting our credit quarters, but we're fully retired under a CSRS annuity pension. Do we lose some of the Social Security payment benefits because we're CSRS? Now, that sounded awful, but it hits the bullseye.
Well, the answer is no, you don't lose anything. The fact of the matter is that when a person's under the civil service retirement system, remember earlier I spoke about indexing the benefits?
Mm-hmm.
So indexing the benefits, we look back and we index those benefits to bring them up to current day value. Whereas if someone is under the civil service and going to receive a civil service annuity based on their work, then they're going to be affected by what is called the windfall elimination provision. And when we calculate that benefit under the windfall elimination provision, we're not going to give them that indexing earnings. We're going to base the benefit on their actual earnings over their working lifetime. So are they losing anything? The question is no. They will still get their money back from Social Security.
Okay.
And in addition, they'll be entitled to the civil service benefit, and their Social Security benefit will not affect their civil service benefit. Now, those are the folks that are under the civil service retirement system. Those individuals under FERS, the Federal Employee Retirement System, the three-tier package, they will not be affected by this because in addition to paying into Social Security, they're paying into civil service retirement as well as on the Thrift Savings Plan.
Right.
So if you're straight FERS, you don't have any worries. But if you're one of those relatively few people, but the numbers are probably pretty high, not the percentage of people. If you transferred to FERS from CSRS, you could still be hit by the windfall elimination provision if you didn't have 30 years of substantial Social Security coverage. So if you transferred to FERS in 1998, for example, and you worked 20 more years under FERS, you will still be, and you had no other Social Security coverage, you would be hit by the windfall elimination provision because all of those years of service you didn't pay in.
I would hate to say that that's incorrect because that person has a vested interest because they did switch over in time where they have the vested
but
interest.
That's the GPO. I'm talking about the windfall.
No. So in other words, by them switching over and they have more than 5 years under the Social Security system, they're vested. Now, they're still, so in other words, what you're saying is they're going to be entitled to a civil service annuity.
A portion of their, yeah.
They might be entitled.
So let's say they worked at least 5 years under CSRS. Therefore, they have a CSRS component. So part of their annuity is under where they didn't pay into Social Security.
Right.
So my understanding, to escape the windfall, they would have to work a total of 30 years paying into Social Security.
Well, let me elaborate that. On those individuals that can be exempt from the windfall elimination provision, that only affects the worker. It doesn't affect the spouse or the survivors. And if they have what is called 30 years or more substantial service, then what happened on tier one is a 90% tier. That tier right there will not be affected because the tier one, for those individuals that have less, it reduces it to over 45%. And that's how come normally we say, if you get an estimate and say that you're going to be entitled to $1,000, you can pretty much cut it in half. So these folks, we have to look at that record individually because it may be that they could still be exempt from that because they have the vested interest. So we would have to work on that on an individual basis.
All right, here's question one. And this isn't going to be an overall impact. I'm a CSRSer. I'm working. I was married or I am married. Unfortunately, my spouse passes. My spouse was not CSRS. They were covered under some Social Security, be it private industry or FERS. Can I claim a survivor's benefit? Again, I'm CSRS. I'm still working. And not have it impacted by anything else based on my unfortunate prior spouse or spouse's passing?
That person could be, that person's eligible for a Social Security benefit on their deceased spouse's record as early as age 60. At age 60, they can be entitled to a widow or widower's benefit, and that benefit is payable at 100%, reduced the number of months that that person's under the full retirement age. So if that person is getting a civil service benefit on their own record.
Okay, now we're going to move forward now. That person's now going to retire. They were working. Okay, so they could get a benefit. But then when they retire, the benefit is still there, but do they lose any of it because now the windfall elimination thing
kicks in? They're eligible for the benefit.
Yeah, eligible.
Now, eligible, I sound like a lawyer now, eligible and entitled. They're eligible for a benefit, but what would happen is at the point that they begin to receive it, they're going to be affected by what is called the government pension offset provision. And the government pension offset provision is going to look at two-thirds the amount of the government pension, the gross amount of the government pension, and that will be used to offset any survivors or spousal benefits on a dollar-to-dollar basis.
Okay. One more, and then
again, first people, we have hastened to add, escape the GPO, and if they worked 5 years under FERS, they'd have no worries. Their spouse will be entitled to full benefits because they were covered under Social Security.
And they won't be affected. I'm not going to say they escape, John. It's just the eligibility requirements that we must indicate as Social Security. So if the person is going to be receiving a government pension on their own record, then they file for the spouse's record as a widow or a spouse. Then we're going to look again, two-thirds the amount of their government pension and use that to offset. Now, they'll still be entitled to the burial expense, the one-time payment of $255. They'll be eligible for that. But as far as a spousal benefit, no. Now, let's flip that.
It's your CSRS only.
If the person is working under Social Security covered employment and their spouse is under civil service and the spouse dies and leave them an annuity, a survivor's annuity, they can receive that survivor's annuity, and that will not affect their Social Security. So it can. That's the way it would work in those two scenarios.
Okay. Now, I want to continue working. I am of retirement age. I understand I can file for Social Security while I'm working, but I say I don't really want it. I want it at some later date, so I'm going to suspend the payment. Now, if I happen to be married, and I don't know if this would extend to a prior spouse, but if I am currently married, can my spouse, depending on his or her age, then come and say, I'll take a piece of his? That's called file and suspend, I think.
Exactly. And you're talking about file and suspend. And right now, what would happen is both parties must be the full retirement age.
Right.
One party must receive a benefit. So one party must receive the benefit, and the other party can suspend the receiving the benefits. Now, that benefit can grow by 8% for each year that they're over the full retirement age. So if a person elects not to receive the benefit, that benefit grows by 8% until age 70. So that's a 32, looking at that group between 43, 54, age 66 is full retirement age. They let the benefit grow to the 4 years. That's a 32% increase over the 100% benefit. In addition, those additional earnings under Social Security covered employment. So if your spouse is going to be receiving on your record, they're going to be entitled to what you're entitled to at the full retirement age. So their benefits will not grow based on your 8% per year. Now, in death, the survivor's benefit will be reflective of whatever you are entitled to. But while you're living, the spouse cannot receive additional benefits because of that.
Let me get this straight. So they get the 32% as a widow or widower, but not as a spousal
in a living
living. Oh, okay.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
535 members on Capitol Hill, please do not kill the messenger.
By the way, thanks for saying that. There was some chatter recently that the president put some language in that this may be coming to an end, not because of law, not because Congress passed anything. He felt that he could maybe do this through an executive order. I'm in the way too deep end of the pool as to what makes law or what doesn't. I would feel uneasy about not mentioning somebody. You know, you throw up enough flags, eventually one of them is going to sail. So we're talking with Lester Austin, public affairs specialist with Social Security, John Elliott, retired Fed, and knower of all things federal. So we've now taken our discussion from the grassroots. How do I qualify? How do I know how to qualify? How do I calculate it? If I'm entitled to it, do I take it now? Do I take it later? What are things I need to watch out for if I'm covered under a CSRS type annuity? FERS people, I don't know, should be as anxious about that. And then we got in a little bit into the weeds, and we have open line. Okay, we have a call.
Okay, I'm 62. I was born 1953. I want to know what percentage I receive of Social Security.
If you were born 1953, what month is your birthday?
June 5th, 1953.
Your birthday is going to be in June. We encourage you to file 3 months in advance. When you file at age 62, you're going to be entitled to a 75% benefit of that 100% benefit that is shown on the estimate that you can receive visiting Social Security's website, socialsecurity.gov. And you want to create an account so you can see just what you're going to be entitled to and make sure that those earnings that have been reported are reported correctly. Once you take a reduced benefit, it will always be reduced in most situations. The only way that benefit and it will increase is additional earnings, such as you go get a part-time job and you'll be contributing to Social Security. Those additional earnings we're going to look at the end of the year. That's one way. The other way is the cost of living increase, which this year was a 1.5% increase. So that was an additional $20 on those 58 million checks that we send out once a year.
Windfall.
You fall under the windfall?
Yeah.
So in other words, you're going to be entitled to a government pension.
Right. I work for the government.
Right. So, and you also worked under Social Security.
Right.
So just by thumb of law, if you look at it and you see that you're going to be entitled to $1,000 or less, cut it in half.
Oh.
Okay. So you're still going to get your government pension and you'll still be eligible for your Social Security. Good luck and wishing you the best.
So what do I cut on half? The Social Security?
The yes. Social Security.
Yes. Okay. Are you under CSRS, the older
system? I'm under FERS.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
So if you're under FERS, you won't be affected.
No, he's under CSRS, so he will be affected. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Lester's answer is correct since you are under CSRS, but I just wanted to make sure.
So if I'm under FERS, I won't be cutting half.
That's right.
Correct. You won't
right.
be cut anything.
So in other words, you're a triple dipper. Yeah, so it's going to look pretty good once you figure out the numbers, and you'll be able to see that you can go from work to enjoying retirement.
All right, thanks a lot. This show really helped me. I listen to it all the time.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the call.
Well, I think that disability, too, like the young man, if he become disabled, he's going to be entitled to 100% because the disability benefit is not reduced based on age, such as the retirement benefit. So a person that receives disability benefits will receive 100% of whatever they're entitled to.
Okay. How about somebody that's working and they are 66, so they meet that, quote, full retirement age where there's no reduction. And if they delay it, they'll get a lot more at 70. But they don't have a crystal ball. They feel that, you know, mom, dad lived a decent life, but they weren't descendants of Methuselah. And they don't know whether to wait to 70 or not. Do you ever I won't say counsel because you don't counsel people on what to do. You explain how it works. But let's say you're now retired. And I was to ask you, this is not a fair question. Well, maybe I split it in the middle. I won't do it at 66, but maybe I'll do it at 68 and I'll get more, but I won't get as much as if I waited till 80. But I'm uncertain. I think I'm healthy, but I don't know if I'm healthy.
That's exactly my situation. Yeah, I'm 68. So I've so far in my FRA is full retirement age of 66. So right now I'm getting 16% more if I apply today, roughly. It's prorated monthly, I take it.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So maybe a little bit more than 16%.
It's 8% per year.
Right, prorated monthly. Right. So my accountant says, well, why don't you go apply? And I said, well, I thought I'd wait till 70 and get the max I could get. Because let's say I get hit by the proverbial bus in D.C., okay, I lost out on that money, but then I'm dead anyway, and my wife is under CSRS, so she can't even get any benefit. She's under full SIR, so it's not even a consideration for her to get a spousal or survivor benefit. So that's my situation. The straw man, the straw person you set up is me.
Well, it's me
person.
Too.
Yeah.
So, and I say to you, you must think of it like this. Social Security is a federal insurance program. Some people will get back more than they've ever put into it, and some people will get back nothing. In those scenarios, retirement is one thing about retirement, and that's risky business. In order to get your benefits in retirement, you have to do one thing, and that's to live. And this thing is not guaranteed, and therefore people make situations where they have financial advisors and other folks helping them to make these decisions, just like what you indicate, John. But then the bottom line, it falls on you. When is it best for you to receive your benefit?
May I put my accountant hat on?
Sure.
Okay, let's say that I apply, and I'm going to get X dollars. I'm going to have to pay tax on 85% of it. Let's just say that. Let's say that I can somewhat ignore the state tax bracket because most states don't tax Social Security. So let's say that I'm at a 25% federal bracket. So for every dollar I get, I'm going to have to pay tax on 85 cents of it, and I'm going to lose 25%. I'm not trying to drive people crazy with this. So my real issue is if I take that money and put it in the theoretical investment, and then I don't touch it till I'm 70, then I start to draw down the difference between what I would have gotten in Social Security that I have saved and what I am getting so that I'm really getting my full benefit. How long would I have to live to break even? That's the question. Now, I'm not asking people to do this because there are programs out there that can do it. So then what you're saying is, okay, I'm going to split it in the middle. And then I'm going to take it, I'm going to put it aside, and somebody might be in a higher tax bracket. Somebody might be in a lower tax bracket. But at the end of the day, that's what I think you have to do. And then at 70 and a half, you start to take it. Easy for me to say because most people are not going to put it in. They're going to spend it.
Right. So, and again, that's a decision. We used to have where as a person could file for benefits as early as 62, receive their benefits, and then at 70, they might say they want to pay all that money back. And some folks have done that. Some folks have said that their mother has lived, their father has lived to 102, their mother lived to 105. So they knew that longevity was on their side. Gentleman came in the Social Security office, wanted to write us a check because he wanted to pay all the money back that he had received from 62 to 70. Wrote us a check for $110,000. We did what at Social Security? We took the money.
Imagine we took the money.
But then 6 months, because he knew he was going to live to over 100.
Yeah.
But 6 months later, his son came into the office. And his son came in to report that his father no longer was in life, but was in internal life. But he knew that daddy had just wrote a check for $110,000, and could he get the money back? And the answer is no. So since then, now what we do, now what the law states, if you file that application, you only have 12 months to withdraw it and pay all the money back. So you can't do those scenarios that folks used to do.
Yeah.
So different things have happened. The laws are changing. And I can imagine that going forth that the laws will change. to better serve the American public as we do each and every day.
Okay, one of the things that is going to change is, and we haven't brought this up before, but Lester's going to retire. When are you going to retire, Lester?
April 3rd.
April 3rd? That's like 3 days?
I couldn't do April the 1st.
Well, okay. April 3rd.
Always
but I
risky.
Just want to read some
things.
Yeah,
that's things. Risky business.
We got this email from the lady who's an area director. I don't want to use her name. And I didn't realize this about you. And I'm going to read this thing. And talking about Lester, during his years as a public servant, Lester has been the recipient of numerous awards, such as the commissioners, deputy commissioners, and regional commissioners' citations, certificates of appreciation, and other things. Now, here's what Lester does besides what he normally does. After the September 11th attack, Lester was instrumental in providing daily reports to the Commissioner of Social Security, which resulted in the immediate implementation of unprecedented procedures. He was provided daily assistance to the survivors of the victims of the Pentagon as well. Now, Lester is a very modest guy, but when I read this, I go, wow. We had an anthrax attack at a local post office facility in D.C. Who was there? Lester. Lester was part of a team that was assigned to the planning for all Social Security employees to be treated with medication to prevent possible death following. I mean, this is awful. There was a tornado in southern Maryland a number of years ago. Who was there? Lester. And he was on the committee that provided assistance to families and individuals after the catastrophe. Hurricane Katrina. Lester was instrumental in assisting the individuals who located to D.C. following the devastation. He assisted them in obtaining temporary shelter. Just imagine that. Lost everything. Who's there? Lester. All righty. Washington Navy Yard. We unfortunately had an awful shooting there not that long ago. Who was there? Lester provided assistance to the survivors of this tragedy to help transition what was pretty awful, at least to help with the financial side. And I think you do this regularly. Walter Reed Army Medical Center is in D.C. It's a huge facility. And Lester led the negotiations for the installment of video service delivery at Walter Reed so that somebody could access Social Security quicker rather than later. You are the man.
Well, on that video service delivery, I think that's a real unique situation. Walter Reed is in Washington, D.C., is the first one in the nation. And with the base realignment in Bethesda and at Fort Belvoir, we now have it there where we have a live person waiting to interview those folks live over the internet. So they're looking at us, we're looking at them, and it's working for millions of Americans.
And it's working for us. We owe you a debt of gratitude here at NITP for coming on the show and being the man that you've been for years. Thank you.
And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Social Security as far as where it's been, where it's at, and where it's going.
Okay. John, time to go.
But congratulations, Lester, on your retirement.
Well, you and John gave me all the facts that I needed, so I think this is a very wise decision.
But there's one proviso. You have to come back on the show in retirement.
Sure.
Bye-bye. We'll be back next week with Joe Sullender, and we'll be talking about Bennies and Bucks.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.